April 9th, Easter day in the evening. Jesus speaks, and he speaks to me so painfully, and it is such a sad subject, that I am writing it separately. Jesus says, last year I said to you, and it was the first dictation, the Father is weary, and to cause the human race to perish he will let the punishments of hell be unleashed. I said it was Good Friday. I would like to come a second time to die to save them from an even more atrocious death. But the Father does not allow this. He knows it would be useless. Oh, if only men were still able to turn to me, who am salvation. I refer you to all my dictations preceding the most recent ones. I have spoken by employing the prophecies of the Holy Book, explaining them to you, applying them to the present times, and if I was later silent on this note, it was because I understood that it was useless for the purposes of good, and dangerous, for those divine words could become a weapon for diabolical torture against my servants who heard, repeated, disseminated, and accepted them. But my thought, even if not expressed by the word, is this, and does not change. Maria, I told you at the end of last May, as regards the future. What do you want to know, poor soul? The dictation on May 31st, 1943, Thank My Mercy, which, for the time being, in large measure conceals from you the truth about the future. Poor, poor soul. On another occasion, I said, you would like me to appear and show myself. But, even if I showed myself, where is that residue of faith and respect and hearts which would make them bend with their faces to the ground, to ask me for forgiveness and mercy? Dictation on June 5, 1943. Even now you ask me for a sign of power, which, since it is the power of a Holy One, of the Holy of Holies, ought to be inexorable, tremendous, punishment, of an incalculable number of people, for, I repeat what I have said 1,000 times, the great sinners exist, because the mass is all more or less guilty of the same sins as they are. But and I say this to you, poor soul, to whom I have granted the vision of me as triumphant to infuse strength into your being, weakened in your dying flesh and desolate in spirit, because of the trial you have endured and the horror surrounding you, I cannot give this sign. Not because God has lost his capacity to act. Nothing is impossible for me as God. But it is the hour of the power of darkness. And men have spontaneously wanted it. The kingdom of evil is already established. Anything I were to do, would be rendered null by man's will. Any good would be destroyed by evil. I impotently witness all humanity's race towards spiritual death. There is no gift, benefit, call, or punishment by me that will serve to arrest this spontaneous shipwreck in Satan of mankind, redeemed by me. Like an enraged bull, humanity is demolishing everything. Reason, morality, and faith, and it is heading for a crash against what slays it. The profaning hand of man rises up for a new crime which does not deserve forgiveness. And the Father does not want to forgive. He lets you perish as you have wanted to. The only thing I can do and do and I do it out of mercy on the saints, who, as rare as flowers in the desert, still pray. They pray, not making an avowal of custom and hypocrisy is to hold back the wrath of my Father, who, weary of the crimes of a race for which my blood has been shed to no avail, goes on wanting and wanting, to apply justice to you. And justice, since you are blameworthy, would mean tremendous punishments which my mercy does not want to be added to those you cause yourselves on your own. Maria, I know I am wounding and demoralizing you. You had hoped for joy from my Easter. Roses after the thorns. Smiles after the tears. You are a victim. The thorns and tears remain even in the time of Easter, for it is necessary to stay on the cross, for the sake of this perverse humanity. I ask you to remain on the cross for me. To save the world has been my dream. To save souls, my joy. The world is lost for God, but souls can still be saved those who still have a soul, languishing, but alive. I ask you for charity in their regard. It is Jesus, a beggar for love and his role as the glorious risen one, who asks you for this offering of souls, so that his kingdom will still have subjects. Go in peace. Easter Sunday. The Holy Spirit says, I am the consoler. I console those who are demoralized by consternation and tortured by the present. I am the one who nurses and sweetens the bitterness of the word that speaks the truth, which is quite bitter today. On this day, which is the triumph of charity, as Christmas is its highest manifestation, for Christmas is the beginning of the redemption, which is charity at work, whereas Easter is the fulfilled redemption, the victory of life over death, through love sublimely elevated into voluntary holocaust to give you life, and the act by which it was possible for me to descend into you, re-sanctified by the blood of God the Son, to reunite you to God the Father with the charity without which God cannot be in you, or you in God. I come to say to you, go on trusting. Even if everything seems lost, trust. Even if the abyss of evil launches its demons forth to torture the earth, and fecundate it to beget the Antichrist, and the abyss of the heavens seems to close by the decree of the Father, from whom we proceed, we, the Word and the Spirit, are still working and loving, to save and defend you. I as charity and the Word as charity, I as sanctification and the Word as redemption do not cease the latter, to pour forth the merits of His blood, and the former, the charisms of His power for your good. Trust. Love has always won out. My naked passion, from April 9 on, won. I see only Saint Joseph, who is looking at me with great mercy, but not speaking. And in the usual corner opposite my bed, April 10, 2. I see Our Lady dressed in white, with the blue band, as at Lourdes. She is praying on the left-hand side of my bed, but not speaking. Saint Joseph approaches, however, and caresses my head, saying, pray, daughter. I obey, weeping and hoping again, April 11. 3. On emerging from an 11-hour sober, this morning at 7 I hear the Lord murmuring a prayer to the Crucified One, as if to dictate it to me. But though I distinctly hear it, I cannot write it in the state I am in, and my exhausted mind does not retain it. It is thus lost. But I hope, as before, until the evening. Then the torment takes hold of me again, and I rave furiously. Oh, how ugly hell is! I remain like that until 3 a.m., the hour at which Father wants to give me communion. Calm is restored, April 12. 4. As I pray, 10 a.m., Jesus says, remember when I spoke to you about possessions. I cannot remember anything in my current state. Jesus speaks, but I see nothing. I spent the day amidst the ups and downs of torture. But at 12 such an agony takes hold of me, that I rave even more furiously than at 12. They have all disappeared, Jesus, Mary, Joseph. All of them. Desperation and desolation, April 13. 5. After a restless night, I rested at dawn. But I reawaken to feel the torture again. It is not delirium, but exasperating, cold reason. Father wants to give me communion. My heart is so closed and hostile that I regard it as virtually sacrilegious. Communion slowly pacifies everything, to the point where I can pray again with joy and hear Jesus, I hear and do not see Him, who says to me, now you could describe my agony in Gethsemane. Oh, I could certainly describe it. But I think I never will. Only those who have experienced it can understand it. For others it would be blasphemy sweating blood. I am amazed that he was not left dead against that mass of stone. Crushed by the weight of the inhuman trial, April 14. 6. When I consider that today, April 15, I won't be receiving communion, I feel demoralized. It already seems to me that I can't resist, and am relapsing into that atrocious torment. It is 1:40 a.m. I am alone, for Martha is not in the house tonight. If the torment overcomes me, what shall I do? I am not the mistress of myself in those moments. I said it was not necessary for anyone to sleep with me. But I am afraid of myself. Not of a heart crisis. Die? If only I were to. But of desperation. I feel so bad. I prayed to Our Lady of Sorrows for an hour. Now I will do what I could not do tomorrow as penance, what I haven't been able to do since Tuesday. But I must fight against the thought I am sacrificing myself to no avail. I feel it growing, and don't want it to take hold of me. I want to beseech the mercy of God through boundless trust. At 11:10, as I pray to overcome the works of the devil affecting this poor humanity, this is the time of air raid warnings, and the bombs are falling nearby, I hear a voice which I recognize and remember, which says a sentence to me already uttered to our Lord. Worship me, and I will help you in all things and always. You will be happy. I reply, no. Never. By my will, never. If I later go mad from the pain of being rejected by God, I may even do so. But as long as I can reason, I won't. Torment me, but I won't give in. This new battle, and you can't imagine how sweet the temptation was, just as he presented it, confirms for me who the cause of my present intense suffering is. Notice that I was holding the cross. But is he not afraid even of that now? On my knees were the images of Our Lady of Fatima, and Saint Joseph. But is he no longer afraid of anything? One day Jesus said to me, "Answer with my own words." I replied, "Begone, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and serve him alone." But how long will this trial last? April 15. 7. I have reread the dictations. It is a bomb. But is it really me that received them? And how can I no longer feel any of that sweetness now? I read Jesus and the children, and wept on recalling my joy that evening, when Jesus seemed to give me his hand to observe. How far away all that is. Now, close to death, I no longer have a bit of such great good. Nothing anymore. And I am afraid. I have been rebellious. I have failed to be resigned. I have displeased God, my Jesus. I do not forgive myself. But if he does not help me in this horrendous hour for me, how can I come out of it victoriously by myself? I am suffering so completely and inhumanely that no word can describe it. I no longer feel protected by God. I am afraid, afraid, afraid of everything. Afraid of earth and of heaven. Afraid of myself and of Satan, who wants to tear me away from God. Afraid, April 16. 8. And I consider that you are not here, and that I won't be receiving communion. I consider that from now on this will be the situation every day. Oh, my bread, you that were my joy, and that I am now losing, that I will now receive so infrequently. Now that I am dying, how can I remain without you? April 17. 9. Last night, in the greatest desolation, because I had seen even the last thread of hope I had left, which I tried to render unbreakable by surrounding it with pained, but constant faith and prayer, being broken, the Redeemer appeared to me in the robes, given him by Herod to mock him, already scourged and crowned with thorns, and with his hands bound. He was coming towards me, looking at me with intensity and pain. The Redeemer. Before I called him Jesus with sweet affectionateness. I now call him Lord. I call him God. I call him Redeemer. Lovely names. But too formal. And I can no longer call him Jesus with my former familiarity. He did not speak. He leaves me in the torture without giving me the slightest comfort. It is too much. Nothing gives me peace. I feel that reason is tottering. April 18. 10. Oh, God. You have really abandoned me. Not even receiving you brings me peace. Where are you? April 19. April 20. After so much silence, the blessed woman says, "You have contemplated me from birth to death. You have been mine as the daughter of the child Mary, mine as the daughter of the Queen of Heaven, and mine as the daughter of the Lady of Sorrows. I have wanted you to be mine in three different congregations, so that you would always love me. My daughter, I am close to your tears. Abandon yourself to me." I heard this, while kissing the image of Mary Most Holy as a child. Immediately afterwards the letter from Sister Isa arrived. April 21. Even that thread of union has disappeared. Why, then, so much abandonment? April 22. Nothing. Harsher and harsher desolation. April 23. Nothing. My desolation grows more bitter. I beseech Mary alone, because I can do nothing else, for I feel her to be merciful, even if she is absent, and not free to intervene on my behalf. April 24. Rebelliousness takes hold of me again. I should say rebelliousness, for it is Satan that slams me about wrathfully, to tear me away from God, and lead me to, first, spiritual, then physical, madness. I leave my house at 3:30 p.m., and my mortally wounded spirit remains there. Maria the spokesman no longer exists. God's instrument has been broken by God's inexorableness. No one can understand this. No one. And they all say customary words. They all maintain meaningless arguments which are counter-arguments because the facts, in their brutal reality, nullify them and cause their unreality to shine out more than ever. Though in my tremendous hour, amidst total sufferings which only God knows if God goes so far as to concern himself still with the worm he has crushed, the poor worm that thought it was destined to become a butterfly because of the love which nourished it for love, and which was instead rejected with repugnance by love, I still squeeze out a prayer for peace, for Paola, and to bend God, to have mercy on me. Nothing. April 25. A tremendous night. A tremendous day at 12, another separation from Father McLaurini, which brings everything to a head again. I call Mary. But she also seems not to exist. There is no more heaven for me. April 26. I see a crucifix. But not Jesus on the cross. A crucified one of wood on his wooden cross. An emblem. Not him, as I saw him before. It looks to me like one of those crucifixes placed along the roads, like the ones I hailed the day before yesterday, dying, in the can for, even if he does not love me, I love him, and this lack of love from him is the greatest, most surprising torment for me, who would never, ever have thought I would have to convince myself that Jesus no longer loves me. April 27. The physical, moral, and spiritual sufferings are building up, and so are the acts of restiveness. Everything makes me suffer. Even the sight of flowers which I so loved before, leaves me indifferent now. Rather, it brings me to tears. I want nothing, because I don't have God. I reread Sister M. Gabriella, and more than ever I feel equal to her in pain. The climate, the air, the light, the water, everything does me harm. The small events which are the result of the cruel evacuation make my suffering more acute. I cry all day long until I am exhausted. I hear the others laughing and joking. I see them remaining distant without mercy. By the others, I mean my relatives. For I have no wish for strangers. What I foresaw is coming true. Confined down here, I am a forgotten person. So willingly forgotten now that I am no longer the one who offers hospitality and consoles, but the one who must look after herself and be consoled. And God does not come. I pray, as Father tells me to. But God does not come. It drives me mad with pain. And yet, though in these conditions, I renew the offering of myself for the usual purposes. Peace, the kingdom of Jesus, and so on and so forth, introducing as the only reservation this one. Let me go back to my house. Even Sister Gabriella introduced one reservation, and she was an angelic creature. I too, can include it. One should not demand from a human soul what is impossible. And those preaching a total gift without reservations, are precisely the ones who on their own, are unable to offer even a scratch. April 28. I am in the same condition. April 29. The local priest comes. He was not sought by me for I know it's useless, but by Paola, who has the illusion, that this will relieve me. Out of respect for his dignity, I receive him with honor. But he leaves me in the previous state. April 30. A desolating day of pain. Communion leaves me as dry as a stone, and more than ever without comfort. Heaven is closed. I weep over my wretchedness throughout the day. God has abandoned me, and men increase my anxiety, by showing themselves in this circumstance to be biting indifferent, and lacking in understanding. But, above all, biting. Last night it seemed to me that heaven was approaching, for, by mental sight, I saw Our Lady appear to me, alive, at the top of a tree which looked like an elm. But it was an instant. Then darkness as before and the silence which has been haunting me for 20 days. But am I the one who heard so many words and saw so many things? But was I mad then? But am I possessed, now that I no longer deserve anything else? I do not demand special graces. I have always rejected them out of fear. But at least the comfort of the union with God which I had been enjoying since April 23, 1943. And yet I pray. Without feeling any more joy in it, but I pray. When I see this bell tower in the mirror, or hear its chiming, I adore the cross, or say the Regina Caeli. But, like a wound in my throat, the water of prayer does not descend to quench the thirst of my heart. It flees, in spite of the fact that I, dying, draw close to this fount.